Hello and welcome to another edition of Tech Plus. Hope you're well and ready to join us as we discuss this week's biggest tech stories. And fresh from Portugal is Kane joining us in studio. I can't believe you were like literally on the other side of the world just a couple of days ago, and here you are again with the same shades and everything, back in good old South Africa. Just a summary of your trip. What was it like?
Amazing. Left on Saturday, arrived on Sunday, left on Wednesday. Stayed there for four nights. Yeah, went to Paris to Porto. Really nice place. Literally was telling you off air, it's like South Africa evolved for 500 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Knysna. Like, if Knysna could just keep growing for 500 years, it's kind of like what it is there.
It's a little bit crowded.
Of buildings in every little nook and cranny. Really, really old architecture, you know, 1700s kind of stuff all over the place. Amazing stonework, like the craziest stone carvings you've ever seen. Really, really established and built. Super tech heavy in places you wouldn't expect. For example, you know, trains move around 24/7, super advanced. You know, cars are relatively new, but then at the same time, hardly any tech stores. I think the only tech store I saw was an Apple reseller. Other than that, you know, you get the souvenir stores, but it's like every souvenir store gets their stock from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like 20 of the exact same shops. Like you go from shop to shop and they're exactly the same. And then you even go to other shops that don't look like the souvenir shops that are selling souvenirs from the souvenir shops, but at twice, three times the rates. And you're like, where can I find new stuff? You know? So once you see all the souvenirs and stuff, there's not much like tech heavy stuff, but the tech that runs the city is extremely advanced.
Really?
That's what I noticed. Yeah, like the trains. Okay. The trains are so like modern, so, you know, so fancy, you know. Everything's automated in terms of, you saw, I saw a few Teslas there, which was pretty cool.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, totally.
Wow.
People who are friendly are super friendly. Met some really cool people, and a lot of young people were working that I interacted with, you know, the bellhops and the Uber drivers and people in McDonald's. Weird walking into a McDonald's and everyone's like 18 to 21.
Wow,
that's like the whole cool. McDonald's is run by 18 to 21. You know, the cooks, the people behind the desk, everything is like young.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, very, very, very different world.
Yeah.
But not tech advanced at all.
That's quite interesting. And you say also it's much safer walking around there at night. You can walk around at 3 a.m. and get a coffee. Where here you can't dare go out in most places in South Africa. And also the places are closed.
You know, as a South African, you know, being able to go places like if you go to Joburg, if you go to Cape Town, us South Africans, we're super hyper aware. You know, you hear, if you walk onto the street late at night and there's keys or someone that moves, you'll hear it. You'll be very hyper aware of your surroundings. You'll know where people are and what they're doing around you, especially if it's like 1 a.m. in the morning and you're walking on the street. I mean, that's not a thing you normally would do here.
Yeah.
And when you go there, you bring that hyper awareness. So you're very nervous about people moving around and things. You know, we went outside of our hotel at like 2 a.m. in the morning. There's people walking on the streets and stuff like that. But you know, you hear someone move behind you really close to him and you get a fright.
There's
harmless people everywhere. No one's actually got any intent.
Nobody's going to rob you or whatever.
There was actually even funny a moment. I was standing with one of my friends and out of nowhere, I just hear like someone walking towards me out of the dark, you know, and I'm like, no, what's going on here? And they looked me dead in the eyes and they said, like, do you speak English? And I'm like, little bit. Because I didn't know what he wanted. I was like, hold on.
Really?
Like, and my one friend just went and started taking pictures with him, and he was a super cool guy.
Oh, okay.
But it kind of shows you that
you never know.
As a South African, you're not prepared for how safe it is.
Yeah.
I would imagine that you can get yourself in trouble, but, you know, there were alleyways and stuff in Porto that I would have looked once at and been like, you don't go there. Even in the middle of the day, you don't go there.
Is it? Okay.
But there, you just check, like, youngsters walking out of there, you know, single people, women walking by themselves, 1 a.m. in the morning down a dark, dodgy alleyway, and you just think, wow, this is definitely safe, you know. And they walk around with their phones out, you know. It's a completely different world.
Wow. And now you're back in South Africa, and the funny thing is you still kept your finger on the pulse of what happened, despite being elsewhere this week.
Oh, yeah, no, I was still
working. You still know exactly what's happening.
Yeah, still working. We're still doing everything like that. But you miss South Africa. There's an I was even walking through border control and things like that. And I just said to the guys behind me, I'm like, I'm just so happy that I can interact with you people again.
Yeah.
Because it's such a good atmosphere here in South Africa. Mm-hmm. People are friendly.
We're much friendlier.
You know, you walk up to a border control person like Shop King and they're like,
they'll
walk you personally to your plane. If you speak the lingo right and you interact with people and you're genuine, they'll be really kind to you. But in overseas, you'll greet someone and they'll just look at you once and pretend they didn't even hear you. I actually have a video of me taking out my phone to record a guy who was playing the trombone or the trumpet outside on the street. And as soon as he saw me move my camera towards filming him, he stopped.
Why?
And then as soon as I walked past, he carried on doing it again.
Why?
Because I imagine he wanted me to give him money in order to play.
Oh, I'm not performing for you unless you pay.
Okay. And I was like, you're not that good, bro. That's so rude.
It was a paywall.
Yeah, because just around the corner, there was a guy playing violin, you know, a cello.
Yes.
And it was incredibly
I hope you tipped him.
Yeah, and I walked up to him and he was so chilled with me recording video. And I also saw other people that were like playing guitar and beatboxing on the street and... Oh, hell of a vibe.
Man, you had a really nice time in such a short time.
Yeah, for 3 days.
Make the most of it.
Yeah, 48 hours of flying for 3 days, basically.
Jeez, but worth it.
Yeah, the flying was crazy, though. Yo,
what happened? Did you have any final destination moments?
Final destination moments.
Where you felt like the plane was going to crash or not?
No, there were definitely some moments where I thought, I don't think I'm going to make it. Because one time we were flying from Porto to Paris. And when you fly from Porto to Paris, you go forwards an hour.
So
we were all working on the time that we had on our phone. Okay, when we get there, we have about an hour and a half.
Oh, my word.
And then we get there and we're like, we actually have half an hour.
Sure, that's tight.
And in Paris, you have to take trains to get around the airport.
Oh, no.
You have to go to a train. So it was mighty wild, but we made it. So.
That's very stressful.
It is.
Imagine missing your connecting flight.
And there's like everything's in different languages and people are all like on a mission. You know, as long as you know what's going on, you're fine.
It's so big.
It's huge. It's huge. We were even flying over Paris and it's just, you just see, there's so much, you know, if you fly over Gneisenau, you'll see a lot of greenery and then a pocket of concrete.
Yeah.
You know, a pocket of in urbanization.
That's it,
where it's like quite densely urbanized.
Yeah.
There, you just look and it's urbanized. And as far as you can see, you just see urbanization, like one massive megalith of a city. But we flew over Paris and we saw the Eiffel Tower. You could see it from the window in the plane.
Wow.
Which is an experience in itself, you know.
Yeah, it's still romantic.
It was funny because when we were in Paris and we were taking off, I was looking out the window like, I wonder if I can see it. And I think at the time I saw a cell phone tower. I was like, that is it, you know, that must be it. And then I saw it for real. I was like, oh, that's it. That's the Eiffel Tower.
Cell phone tower.
So that's not that impressive.
Easy to mistake it.
But when you're 5,000 feet in the air and you see a big Eiffel Tower looking thing, it's quite an impressive look.
That's a huge thing. Hey?
It's big, you know, to see it from a plane.
Yeah.
And I could even zoom in with my phone and take a photo of it. So that was really, really cool.
Wow. So Kane, what happened this week in tech world?
Wow, we have a lot of news. Some people might be happy about this. Liquidators of South Africa's biggest pyramid scheme in history strike deal with the US over a 33 billion rand claim. So some people in South Africa, you know, who were exposed to a company by the name of MTI or Mirror Trading International, got heavily rug pulled. Basically, they lost a lot of money. I know people that told me they lost all their life savings to this particular pyramid scheme. And it was massively bad. But what's basically happened here is the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission, or CFTC, has reached an agreement with the South African liquidators of MTI not to pursue a $1.7 billion or 33 billion rand claim against the estate. So under the terms of the deal, the CFTC won't take any action to collect payment while bankruptcy proceedings are underway, which is relatively good because, you know, I hope that before bigger players start, you know, putting their hands in the pot to get access to the money, that hopefully some people, like the people I know that got absolutely wiped out by Mirror Trading International, lost life savings, houses, you know, they lost their businesses in Dubai and terrible things like that. Hopefully they will be able to get reimbursed in some way, shape or form before more traditional government type institutions start collecting the pot, right? So that's possibly a good bit of news for us. But ultimately, it is still very sad to think back and realize that, you know, this was one of South Africa's biggest pyramid schemes in history. And they used crypto as a as an angle to take, you know, a new cryptocurrency called MTI. And I was always very sad when someone told me that they lost all their money to MTI, because I had never even heard of it in my life. You know, and having worked in the digital technology industry for so long, you know, to know quite a lot and then hear about someone who basically invested in something that hasn't even crossed your radar, and then they invested like their entire life savings into this, is incredibly sad. You know, it is literally the effect of an uninformed, you know, hype, FOMO. Mm. And sometimes people get the short end of it. So hopefully we're going to see some of those, you know, some of those horror stories get at least somewhat, you know, brought back to reality, and hopefully some people can see a little bit of that money back. It's never nice losing life savings, eh? I mean, it's
no.
It's life savings, you know, you worked hard for
it's
that.
It's gone.
And it's just absolutely gone, and it's gone because people stole it and spent
billions
on themselves.
You never get it back. Yeah.
It's too difficult. They've spent 133 million rand to recover 1 billion.
Mm-mm.
You know, so you have like
you won't see it.
Very, very difficult to.
That's very sad. So be careful. Be careful. Be careful. And do your homework, man.
Do your homework. Don't ever invest your life savings in
something
you don't
know. Sometimes
you
do your homework and you still get scammed.
Look, if it sounds too good to be true, it still means it sounds really too good to be. It sounds really good. You know what I mean? Sometimes we can be hopeful that what we hear is actually real, and sometimes it is and it works out magically, and sometimes it isn't and it doesn't work out magically. You just got to kind of find the safe area to test that risk appetite. You know, don't do your whole life savings. As much as if you did do your whole life savings, maybe you make, you know, generational wealth. But at the same time, if you don't, you kind of lose generational wealth.
Yeah.
You know, you go in the opposite direction.
And think about it before you sign up or do anything like that, because sometimes we're impulsive. I mean, I wake up at 2 a.m. and order a camera on Takealot. The next morning, I have regrets.
And then you take a few photos of yourself and feel much better.
No, it was a security camera. But actually, I'm actually quite glad I've got it now.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is it starting to like not feel as like a bad idea anymore?
But it's just like, you know, sometimes we get really impulsive. You're like, oh, I can't really afford it, but I really want it, so I'm just going to buy it. Okay, I love my gadgets.
You got to treat yourself sometimes.
Exactly.
You know?
I'm worth it.
I'm worth it. I love that.
Yeah, man.
I back that. And then in other news, Vodacom in a deal with the Starlink rival. This is crazy. Now, we know the story of Starlink in South Africa. We've had some South African regulators go to South African businesses that have been setting people up with Starlink solutions by basically importing it from international sources, because Starlink isn't allowed in South Africa. Why they're not allowed in South Africa is because South Africa has a rule that if you are going to operate in South Africa as a company like that, you need to be owned by 30% previously disadvantaged groups. And unfortunately, yeah, Starlink doesn't reach that milestone. However, Amazon's Project Kuiper 5, the Vodacom group plans to offer access to Project Kuiper, the Amazon.com-owned low-Earth orbit satellite network, and the network aims to provide broadband internet access to underserved areas around the world. So I believe, I don't mind who it is. I don't mind if it's Starlink. I don't mind if it's Amazon's Kuiper. I don't mind what it is, but I do know that we have to be able to put internet access in remote regions. Why is because if you can give someone a smartphone in a remote region and access to the internet, you give them all the info and the knowledge that they need. It's that simple. It's just that simple. And if someone can't afford to go to school but they have a phone and an internet connection, guess what, they can do a lot.
Oh yeah,
you know,
that's your university.
They can arguably do more. You have access to more than you have access to a low cost school, you know, very entry level school that's struggling to pay the bills. Just having an internet connection and a decent device is going to get you access to that. So I'm very bullish on it, and as I said, I don't mind who it is, but we need it, you know, especially for the people that need it, not so much the guys that are camping or, you know, going and sailing boats and stuff. That all has its own reasons for it to be valuable, but specifically for underprivileged areas, for access like that to be available. The only other thing we need to solve is how do we provide it to them affordably, Okay, it can't just be for the wealthy. You can't just have internet access like that for the wealthy. I would love to see entrepreneurs be able to set that up in a township and actually sell internet to the people around them, generate income from it. That would be really, really cool. But we'll have to wait and see what exactly happens. But if Project Caper can come in, then maybe it's a runway for Starlink to come in, and competition nurtures cheaper, more affordable, better products. And we saw with someone like when we discussed last week, we were speaking about how Tesla got into China. You know, China, for the first time ever, decided to let Tesla in without needing a Chinese partner. And bearing in mind that when TikTok tried to go to America, they said, no one, you're not allowed to do this unless you own a US-owned company, right? So when Tesla went to China, China allowed them to operate without a US, I mean, without a Chinese partner.
Mm.
And the Chinese partner is supposed to have all the say. So the first ever time that China didn't force that to be the case when Tesla wanted to start selling cars there locally, they did that to promote competition amongst their local suppliers. And as a result, USA sits on 7% adoption of electric vehicles and China sits on 30% adoption of electric vehicles. They did the right thing. You know what I mean? They knew what they were doing. They took a risk, and now you see something like that. So that's really interesting for me. And then Checkers to launch Amazon Prime style subscriptions in South Africa. Checkers. You know Checkers 60 and 60?
Yeah, well, they're doing phenomenal.
Checkers will this month launch an Amazon Prime style subscription service that includes free 60-60 order deliveries.
Nice.
The service will cost 99 Rand a month and offer other benefits such as exclusive discounts and access to early promotions.
Huh.
Interesting. 99 Rand a month, I mean, 60-60, 60 Rand.
But that Checkers 60-60 thing, I use it myself.
Yes.
And it's a really, do you use it?
I use Checkers 60-60 and Woolies Dash.
Okay.
And
okay, I've never
fantastic.
Used the Dash one.
That's good.
Is it good?
Works great.
But listen, they're very good. Checkers has got a really awesome brand. Did you see what they got for the kids?
No.
Little bikes that look like the Checkers 60-60 delivery. Isn't that just a brilliant? I know the parents are going, no, it's not good, because I've got two children now, they both want it. And it was like 200, 300 Rand a pop, you know. But I think that's brilliant marketing, don't
that's
you
so
think?
Cool. That's so cool.
Because it looks like it, and they're always like, mommy, they come with that bicycle. I want one just like that, please.
Yeah,
it's even got that little thing at the back where they put the groceries in.
No,
so now you've got
so
your
cool.
Now you've got your four-year-old driving around the house and delivering
groceries,
delivering things to mommy and daddy, and guess what they want to be when they grow up. But I think that's clever marketing.
It is. That reminds me of something I saw at the Porto Airport. Was these two kids that instead of having a backpack or traditional kind of push trolley type bag, you know, where you got the bag with the thing that comes out the top where you hold and you can wheel it around.
Yeah.
Well, instead of it being like that, it was like a kid's scooter, and at the front of it had a bag.
Wow.
So the kids were riding the scooter around.
That's
cool. Actually their bag.
Wow.
And I imagine it folds up and it goes into the airplane.
Wow.
So the parents
that's
just let
cool.
them out, and they're riding around on a scooter around the airport. And a scooter is the
cool.
bag.
Wow.
I thought that's very cool. And
that
then
is. And makes
then
it fun.
And then I saw another bag. A person was walking with their bag, and they just sat on the bag and started driving the bag.
Gee, what?
Yeah, you see everything there. Like, they sat on the bag, and it was electric,
laugh.
And it started moving them around.
I would laugh.
I've never seen this before.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's some interesting technology.
It is. It is. And speaking of interesting technology, Virgin Galactic will launch its has already launched its first space tourist customers on Galactic 03 yesterday. So Virgin Galactic planned to launch its Galactic 03 space tourism mission on the 8th of September, sending three customers to the final frontier and back. So for anyone who doesn't know, Galactic 03 was the name of the company's third commercial spaceflight mission, which launched on Friday the 8th of September, and the mission sent three paying customers to the edge of space and back aboard the VSS Unity space plane. The three customers were part of the Founder Astronaut Group, who had originally bought their tickets as early as 2005.
What?
2005!
Man, these I was still in school.
These folks have patience. I wonder if anyone who bought their ticket in 2005 is still even living today. Is every single one of them still alive? 2005 is a long time ago.
It is.
You know, it's like 18 years ago they bought
this. That's a child.
And as a result, these people that went to space, these people were actually responsible to help make the dream of regular commercial space flights a reality. Why? It's because they were one of the first investors, the money pushers, one of the first people to buy their tickets all the way in 2005. I would have written it off by then.
Yeah.
I would have said, this is never happening.
It's not happening, yeah.
But then you get a call, hey, you know, your flight's ready, are you guys coming? I'd be like, yes. Which is also quite concerning for me because my idea of wanting to go, I've like just added an extra 18 years to my projection of when I'll get to orbit. But it's actually insane. And the Galactic 03 mission took off from Spaceport America in New Mexico, where the VSS Unity was carried by the VMS Eve carrier aircraft, which is what the it's attached to an altitude of about 50,000 feet,
sure.
Or 15,000 meters. Then the VSS Unity detached from the VMS Eve and fired its rocket motor to reach suborbital space, where the customers experienced weightlessness and saw the curvature of the Earth. After a few minutes, the VSS Unity glided back to Earth and landed on a runway at Spaceport America. The Galactic 03 mission was not live streamed, but Virgin Galactic provided updates via social media. The mission was expected to last about an hour from takeoff to landing. How cool is that? I think that's very cool.
That's freaking cool.
That never used to exist before. You know, where could that have happened before?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And do we have a music break?
Yes, and then we come back with some more Tech Plus. Stay tuned.
Those eyes that could light up a room. She knows what she's doing. She kissed me like there's nothing to lose. but she's the life of every party, and it kills me to see her with somebody, and it kinda sucks that my whole heart wasn't enough. I was ready to jump, you said you weren't ready for love. Tough girls just wanna have fun. Girls, 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 girls just wanna have fun. Girls, 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 girls just wanna have fun. Maybe I'm stupid, wear my heart on my sleeve like a loser. She's got heartbreaking knives to fall in love fast. Told me she loved me and kissed me and laughed. Yeah, she's the life of every party, and it kills me to see her with somebody, and it kinda sucks that my whole heart wasn't enough. I was ready to jump, you said you weren't ready for love. Tough girls just wanna have fun. Girls, 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 girls just wanna have fun. Girls, 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 girls just wanna have fun. Used to call you baby, baby, now you're just the one that got away. Used to be my baby, baby, there's nothing left to say, yeah. Oh, it kinda sucks that my whole heart wasn't enough. I was ready to jump, you said you weren't ready for love. Tough girls just wanna have fun. Girls, 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 girls just wanna have fun. Girls, 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 girls just wanna have fun. Just wanna have fun.
Welcome back to Tech Plus. If you just joined us, it's Jan and Kane with you all the way for the next couple of minutes, and we are talking about this week's biggest tech stories. Just quickly here from South Africa, I see the Restaurant Association of South Africa. Did you even know we had one of those?
The Restaurant Association of South Africa?
RASA, yeah.
No, I did not.
Okay, well, they are up in arms at the moment because of DSTV, or multi-choices, increase in the hospitality packages. So, you know, when you go to a B&B or you go to a restaurant and they show like Super Sport and they show the rugby or whatever, they obviously have a special DSTV package. It's only got like a few of the select channels that people most often watch, like Super Sport 1, Movie Magic 1, whatever. And they've now, just before the Rugby World Cup that starts this weekend, they increased that price. But I think I stand corrected, but I think it was about 23%. So obviously these guys are not happy about it, because they now can't cancel it because people come to their establishments to watch the World Cup rugby.
That's naughty on DSTV's part.
But you know, there could be a way around it, because I see the SABC also got rights now to show it, so that kind of takes the edge off it a bit.
I think it's a little bit dirty to randomly do it
just before the World Cup.
I think you know what you've done. As DSTV, you know what you've done. You took advantage of people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's exactly what they're saying. They're taking advantage of people now. And yeah.
See, that's the problem. Businesses like DSTV think customers are stupid. You know what I mean? They think we're stupid, and we're not. And when you do stuff like this, you could have given us a year notice.
Yeah.
To make a 23% increase without like any notice is so bad, especially for a business like DSTV, where sport is the only thing keeping them alive. But maybe it's a byproduct. We can't always assume it's them that's bad. Maybe whoever they have to rent the licensing for to film the Rugby World Cup
money. They had to buy the license for millions. So they obviously have to make up that money now.
Understandably.
Millions.
But also, you know, we're going to cover one of these topics that speaks about BMW. And let's actually, you know, we can typically talk about that now, right? So BMW released one of their newer cars. And what they did was they basically launched their car with existing technology in place so that the seats could be warmed. So why they did that was so that they could add a subscription model, a microtransaction subscription model that would allow you to turn your electric seats on.
It's like an add-on.
Exactly. Yep. And when they were doing it, BMW didn't charge you an extra for your electric seats.
Mm-hmm.
You would just turn them on by paying a subscription. And there's various subscription models, and we'll talk about it now. But BMW has since dropped the plan to charge a monthly fee for heated seats. So customers can now toast their tushies without paying a monthly subscription after the German automaker removed it from its digital store of added features. And, you know, it really was quite a lot, because it was an $18 a month plan, which is, like, quite expensive. You know, you're talking, like, quite a lot of money, 200, 300 rand a month. Which can run infinitely for as long as you have a car. That's 12 months, that's 5 years, you know, 10 sure. years. You could be paying that subscription off just to have heated seats. I would imagine you pay well more than what you would have paid if you just bought it outright. And this comes after a BMW board member for sales and marketing during the IAA Mobility Conference in Munich said the heated seat subscription fell under the automaker's broader experiments with microtransactions. It just wasn't a very successful experiment. They went on to say that we thought what we would provide an extra service to the customers by offering the chance to activate that later, but the user acceptance wasn't that high. People felt they paid double, which actually was not true, but perception is reality, I always say. So that was the reason we stopped. And that's what one of the guys from BMW had said. And I think the key point there is perception is reality. Even if you paid a lot of money, you're still upping it by 23% on short notice.
Yeah.
So perception is reality. Right. It's not going to be taken well.
Mm,
and
exactly.
It makes me angry when people do stuff like that. Because
yeah, it's greed, man.
You should have had a longer term plan, and maybe they do. Maybe that's the best they could have done. But I truly, truly don't believe that. And yeah. as a note for BMW, what you could subscribe for a year at $180. So instead of paying $18 a month, you basically get 2 months free if you pay $180. Or for 3 years, you could pay $300 and basically save an additional $60, which would be a couple more months for free. Or you could get unlimited access for $415. And I think it's just a good proof of concept, right? You can't just usher a paid model into someone's life when the tech exists there already.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like the electric seats had to be installed and then you paid a monthly subscription. You sold the car with electric seats. DStv sold their subscription with the technology that they had. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they target the hospitality industry, which they know they need to provide those services to people, because if they don't, they're going to up and leave.
Exactly.
If they can't watch the rugby from their room, because you wouldn't pay a 23% increase.
Yeah, they have no choice.
You have no choice.
Yeah, and it's not nice, eh?
No, it's not okay.
But I mean, didn't we, you know, talking about this BMW pay model thing, didn't we chat about it like in the past? But I don't know if that was a joke. If you don't pay, so you don't have heated seats, and then later they stop, your windows stop working, and then your indicators, or were we joking? Was that a joke?
I think that was a joke.
Oh, okay, thank God. Thank goodness. Oh, my word, because that would have been ridiculous, hey? Imagine, they take your indicators away.
Tesla also loves to do that, sell you a product.
Yeah.
Like one of my friends who's in Ireland was telling me that their friend has a Tesla. And he said, you know, he was sitting at the house with him, and the guy was like, you know, do you want to take the Tesla out for a spin? And he's like, hold on, let me just upgrade it quick.
What?
And he went online and he bought a performance package upgrade.
Oh, my word.
And it downloaded.
Make it faster.
It installed, and then the Tesla was faster.
Jeez.
You know what I mean? He bought it.
Was it permanent, or was it just for 1 month?
No, it cost him like £2,000.
Yo.
To buy that. I mean, that's like 60,000-70,000 rand.
Yo.
And the technology is there.
It's there. It's just not enabled. Yeah.
So, and that, I don't like that. You know,
yeah,
it's same. There. It's like, it's crazy to me.
I get it.
It grinds my gears. And some updates that I like about WhatsApp has started letting some beta testers send original quality media. So some testers are getting the ability to share photos and videos in full resolution in the beta version of WhatsApp on Android. WhatsApp has spotted working on the feature last month, which lets you select and send original quality media from the app's document picker. I have, you know, something I like about this and something I don't like about this. I'm sure you've seen you can now enable an HD. So you can send a photo, but before you send it, you can enable HD.
Yeah.
I was sending my friend some of my photos from my travel. And you know how annoying it was having to select HD every time I wanted to send a photo because I had hundreds of them.
Did it really go through the HD?
Huh?
Or is it just does. A little bit better?
It's we've tested it. It still compresses it.
So they, I knew it.
It still compresses.
There's still some form of compression. Yeah. I knew it. They're just a little bit more quality. But it's not true HD, hey?
No.
It's interesting that you say that now.
And the reason that I bring it up is because it shows you something here. I mean, at WhatsApp scale, should it not be easy to allow people to send their original media?
Yeah.
Would it not be easier for them not to compress it and just allow it to be sent, not have to do that extra computational power? No, it's not easier because the minute you allow one user to send 1 megabyte more and you have 10 billion users,
exactly.
it scales crazy.
You need to upgrade your servers and all that stuff.
It's
and
a crazy difference.
Running costs.
The little bumps hit really hard.
So true.
Especially for something like WhatsApp that's still yet to make profits. It's like, this thing is old as me and it hasn't even made money yet.
You
know, I would be kicked out the house by now if I was WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So that's not the best move. And then we look at something else. We're talking about Tesla. We're talking about electric cars. So let's talk about the Lotus Emeya. It's the latest electric hypercar to join the under 3 seconds club. 0 to 100 in under 3 seconds.
Wow.
Quick acceleration, ultra-fast charging, and a 6-spoiler may help this EV compete with the Audis and Porsches of the world. So Lotus revealed the 2024 Emeya electric hypercar, a 4-door sedan with nearly 1,000 horsepower and a burning desire to reach 60 miles per hour in under 3 seconds or 100 kilometers an hour. Lotus claims that the Grand Tourer is one of the fastest Gran Turismos or GTs in the world, but we'll need to see some unbiased testing first before we agree to that, right? We can't really be sure of that, but they do say that it will be able to hit a top speed of 155 miles per hour and do 0 to 60 miles per hour in about 2.8 seconds, which is at 0 to 100 in about 2.8. That's really fast for an electric car.
Yeah.
Why? Because it means it can go from 0 to 100 silently and you won't even see it coming.
Yeah, you won't. I'm worried about that because in the future, you know, what if you're jogging? Then usually you can hear a car behind you if you don't have your earphones in.
Yes.
How would you know there's a Tesla behind you that's about to hit you?
You don't. When I saw a Tesla, you know, you don't see it because you hear it. You see it because you see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's
it's just
no,
like glides
you don't
past
e-
you.
You don't even hear like the tires on
no,
the road.
You don't even hear it. It's completely silent.
That's
it's like
crazy.
A silent ninja.
Yeah.
You know? Really good to get around quietly. You know,
imagine sneaking out at night and you've got a Tesla.
One funny time is I was younger and I had a motorbike and I was driving down Nasna's red brick road at night.
Oh.
You know, trying to be sneaky and quiet.
Oh, no.
But you have a motorbike, so it's like you can't
hang
even
on the
be quiet.
Road,
no.
Yeah.
You can't be
you
quiet.
You woke up the whole town.
No, but on a Tesla, though, you could probably do some like sneaking around. You
absolutely.
Know? But we'll never see these cars come to South Africa for the next 2-3 years at least.
Nah.
There's just not enough.
Probably not.
There's not enough electric vehicle chargers,
exactly.
And there's not enough Eskom to go around right now.
You not know, nearly.
Your little inverter at your home that powers your laptop for 3 hours and you're going to cut it to charge your supercar. You're better yet using your supercar to power your house on the off time. You know? And the last news about Tesla as well. So Tesla will install up to 20,000 versatile EV chargers at Hilton locations. So this is essentially an installation of universal destination chargers at Hilton hotels and properties starting in early 2024, which will work with any EV without an adapter. So it means you can take any EV to these Tesla chargers. You don't need to bring an adapter with you and you can charge your car, which I think is really cool.
Hmm.
And that's why I say it's not going to come to South Africa for a long time because I just don't see an announcement of 20 to 50,000 electric vehicle chargers being installed in South Africa.
Nope.
There is an electric vehicle charger in Nasna, though.
Yeah, you told me.
In the mall.
In the mall, yeah.
Talk about
it. And in Sedgefield.
It's such a sleeper build. Like, how would you even know? If I had an electric car, I wouldn't even know it's there.
No, not at all.
But maybe your GPS would tell you. Maybe it's on Google Maps.
Because
I wouldn't know, because I'm not driving around on Google Maps with an electric car.
Yeah, but they're rolling out more and more of those charging stations. I know that they're going to add a few more. I think 100 before the end of the year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just to keep up with it, you know. I'm sure they're anticipating bigger things.
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% right. That's very, very interesting. And then here's something more interesting. AI.
Yes, I was waiting for it to pop up somewhere.
It never ceases to progress.
Can't ignore it.
eBay shoppers are about to see more AI-generated product listings. So a new tool introduced by eBay uses images uploaded by sellers to fill in their other product information. So eBay will give sellers the option to create entire product listings just from a photo using generative AI tools. The company announced on Thursday, eBay believes that the AI-driven product listings will accelerate the selling process, especially for new merchants who might feel overwhelmed by all the details they need to provide. The new tool uses pictures uploaded by sellers to fill in the details like a product title, description, item category, and other key information a buyer might want to know. Right now, it's available only in the iOS app, and according to TechCrunch, it will be available on Android in the coming weeks. So what does this do? Well, imagine you could go to Gumtree, just upload a photo, and all the product information is added for you. Now, when I read that, I was like, that's quite concerning, because I feel like product descriptions and product titles and all that's kind of important. You know, what if I upload a picture of my car and the front bumper's damaged? Is it going to include front bumper damage in the description? You know, was it just going to put all the general details about this product as if it's a new product? That's my question, you know.
Good question.
And will that mean I'm now buying a product that might not be informationally correct because some random AI tool was used to fill out all the product information? And how do you fill out those little hiccups? Does the person who did everything have to go through each word that the AI used? Because if you're uploading 50 or 60 or 70 products and you're using the AI tool, you're going to just do it really quickly. You're going to upload the photo, move on to the next one. And your products might go live with not all the correct information, which is going to lead to the products being bought by someone not knowing all the information and ultimately lead to them receiving the product not as they expected it to be received, which is going to lead them to refund the product, which is going to make the business have to go through more effort than is required. So I'm really curious to see this tool in action, because I want to know how it's going to solve those challenges. You can't just do that and not address the most important part, which is information accuracy of a product listing that is of a secondhand nature, like something on eBay. But if you're selling a brand new iPhone 15, well, it's going to get most of the information right. So I think in some ways it can really help, especially when you're selling new things or products that are in other places and you're just a distributor of new products. But I think when it comes to secondhand, I think it might be more challenging. What do you think?
Yeah. No, you're right.
And next up we have... was it a music break?
Yes.
Okay.
And then we're back.
Overtime, tired of my 9 to 5. Tonight I'll lose myself in the lights. A quarter to midnight, got nothing on my mind. Dressed up so dynamite. Ooh, I'll take you to my paradise. Spotlight. I know you wanna get closer underneath the neon lights. Don't stop till I say it's over. Just want a touch of emotion. Let me get lost in the moment. Ooh, I'll take you to my paradise. Ooh, I'll take you to my paradise. I'm gonna kiss somebody.
every time I try to mix decision making with one too many drinks. But who, if they not friends, have consequences?
Back with the final stretch of Tech Plus. Kane, what have you got for us lastly before we say goodbye?
Would you ever get into a taxi that was like a self-driving taxi? Like if a Tesla pulled up next to you and it's like, your lift has arrived, sir.
I saw that on TikTok, and yes, the persons are always very, very, the people are so hesitant to get in. They freak out first, and then they stand there and they wait, and then the car's waiting for them. They're looking at the car's looking at them, the door opens. Do you get in? Would you?
I feel like I'd be the type of guy who would get in the driver's seat so I could take control of the worst case scenario.
That's a very good idea.
But if you
let's do that.
If you're in a car that has a steering wheel and is supposed to be a taxi, I don't think that you should. I don't think I would want to have the steering wheel. I don't know if I would be driving on a road where some random unlicensed driver is grabbing the steering wheel of the automatic car.
What if the steering wheel doesn't work or breaks off?
What if it does work, even worse, and there's just like an 11-year-old that's like just sitting behind the driver's seat? Because you know it could happen.
Yeah,
you know, your parents get in the back, two kids, and one climbs in the front and starts in the driver's seat, and then just
and it actually works.
And then just starts doing donuts in the main road, you know? And you just, so what's going to happen?
That's a good
one. So I think as long as I could get into the car and maybe take control.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about next is there's no control. Cruise is just days away. Cruise is a manufacturer of automated cars. Is just days away from approval to mass produce Origin robo-taxis without steering wheels.
Ish.
No accelerator.
No steering wheel.
No brake.
Oh, no.
No steering wheel.
Handbrake, maybe?
Nothing.
Oh, no. That's a problem for me.
So why is it such a hard thing for them to get approved is because they have to literally get regulatory approval to begin the production, because you cannot have a car on the road without a steering wheel.
That's it.
So if that gets approved, well, then you're going to see something like robo-taxis, Origin Cruise robo-taxis that are basically have no steering wheel, no accelerator, no brake. They just drive themselves around. That's another level.
Not even an emergency button or something. or an override button or something.
No, I don't know.
So can you at least jump out if something goes wrong?
No idea. The vehicle's lack of traditional human controls means that Cruise needs an exemption from the federal government's motor vehicle safety standards, which require vehicles to have a steering wheel and pedals.
Another 2023 problem.
Very important. I can't believe this. Does your car have a steering wheel? Let us know. That is crazy.
So let us know.
The government's only supposed to be allowed to make an exemption for like 2,500 vehicles without steering wheels, and they need about 25,000. So we'll see what happens there, you know. Steering wheelless, pedalless cars might be a future, eh? Maybe you don't even drive your car around. in the future. Yeah. Maybe in the future, you just get into your car and you're like, you go here and it goes. And then, and now in 20 years, 30 years from now, people won't even know how to drive because their cars are driving themselves.
Exactly.
And then they're going to get on a bicycle and wonder why it's not moving already. What is this pedal thing? How does it work?
Good point.
And then finally, we have something very interesting. Elon Musk made a joke about having a McFlurry spoon that is inspired by a Cybertruck. And we now have it, but it's only available in China. So in China, you can go get a McDonald's McFlurry, and it comes with a cyberpunk-styled spoon. It literally looks like a Cybertruck. Sorry, not a cyberpunk.
It's got that design, that squarey...
angled metal kind of feel to it. So these are... I would love this. I want to eat my McFlurry with a Cybertruck spoon.
Yeah, it's better than a wooden spoon.
But you know what they say? You got to have the Cybertruck if you're going to get the Cybertruck spoon.
Ugh.
You know, you can't just have a normal, everyday truck.
Yeah.
And then finally... In a final interesting note, two things. One thing is Apple is now reportedly spending millions of dollars a day training AI. So be aware, there's going to be something coming out. Microsoft even released background remover on Paint as well.
Finally.
And finally, Texas, because of the heat waves, they started this energy credit system that if Bitcoin miners, for example, are mining too much electricity, then they get energy credits. And one of Texas's Bitcoin miners called Riot is currently owed $31.7 million because they shut down to not mine. Crazy, hey? They pay you to not put your electricity on, basically.
No way.
That's really cool. You know, if South Africa said don't put your keys on, we'll pay you. I'll be like,
it's the opposite.
Sign
here,
me up. And that's it for this week.
And Android's got a rebrand out, so you're going to see Android changing a lot, especially the TV boxes. They've got these, the little robot man.
Yes.
What's he called? The droid bot or something. He's now going to be in 3D.
Hey.
Yeah. So look out for that. And that's all we have time for this week, unfortunately.
Amazing.
Time flies when you're having fun. Kane, enjoy your weekend and welcome back to South Africa.
Thank you very much. And I'll see everyone next week. Thank you so much for listening.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
I've been staring at the coastline, thinking of every choice I made to leave me here right now, standing on solid ground. And I've been hiding in the shadows, wondering if I'm on the right road, someplace I've never been. Is this how it all begins? Oh, 'cause I've got my best suit on and I'm ready. I got my sleeves rolled up and I'll be on my way. While my heart's thumping, bum 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 bum, you're gonna see me rise. Oh, and rise. You're gonna see me rise. We'll be right back.
Where did they all go? They used to run, used to run, used to run right here. And all I see is an empty road. Why, why, roses tell me? Where did they all go? When I was young, they would spread like fire. And all the roots don't know where to grow. Did it come overnight or did it come slow? It's out of our hands and it's out of control. I don't think that this is the world we used to know.
Out of our hands and it's out of control. I don't think that this is